This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Some U.S. House seats in North Carolina that were considered reliably Republican are becoming more competitive. The nonpartisan Cook Political Report just shifted one North Carolina House seat from leaning Republican to a toss-up. And Donald Trump's falling popularity among independent voters could affect another House race. WUNC Capitol Bureau Chief Jeff DeBerry joins me now. Welcome back, Jeff.
Hey there, Frank.
Let's get the big picture right away. We know Republicans hold a majority of the U.S. House seats in the state of North Carolina. How many seats do Democrats need to flip that equation?
Democrats need to pick up 23 seats across the country. And our listeners will remember that a good number of the 435 seats in Congress are not going to be competitive either on the right or the left this year. Roughly 15% to 20% of all the seats across the country are generally seen as potentially in play. That right there, we're talking about 70 or so seats that could be of interest, could be of question come that early Tuesday in November. And we'll see if some of these seats here in North Carolina, one in the Triad, one kind of eastern Wake County, and one in the Charlotte region of the state, in fact, can do turn from Republican to Democrat.
Let's hear about that, because we've been hearing certainly since 2011, when the Republican-led General Assembly was able to essentially draw the maps, that those seats were going to be safe in perpetuity almost. We mentioned one North Carolina House race, though, that just changed to a toss-up. Tell us about that one.
That's the 9th Congressional District. North Carolina has 13 U.S. House seats. U.S. House seats, of course, are allocated to each state based on population. They come out of the census data from every decade. And it was an 8-5 split for Democrats 10, 12 years ago. It's now a 10-3 advantage for Republicans. The incumbent in that 9th District, a guy by the name of Robert Pittenger, lost in the primary. So it is effectively an open seat. The Democrat is Dan McCready. The Republican is Mark Harris. And today, as you mentioned, Frank, the nonpartisan Cook Political Report moved it from leaning R to a toss-up. The Democrat in this race, Dan McCready, he's a veteran. He is has a war chest of money. He's done very well in that regard. He has said for probably a year now, he will not vote for Nancy Pelosi if he's elected and if the Democrats were to take back the majority in the U.S. House. So at this point, he's right there as one of these Democrats who is trying to pick up a seat.
And the Republican candidate, Mark Harris, has been in the news lately.
He has. He is a pastor, and he has given some sermons before, a tape of one of which emerged, in which he uses the word submission as he's talking about the role of a wife in a marriage. And that is something, of course, naturally, that the Democrat here and the folks on the opposite side are trying to hammer him with.
Well, and if that blue wave is a blue wave because of the number of progressive women who might turn out, that would certainly be an influential factor.
That certainly could very much hurt him, yes.
Another potentially competitive race, the 2nd District. What's happening there?
Yeah, George Holding is a third-term congressman, and this is a district that encompasses 6 counties. About half of the constituency is in eastern Wake County, and then the other half is in Johnston and Harnett and just, kind of the 5 rural counties that hug the eastern part of Wake County. George Holding is being challenged by Democrat Linda Coleman. She's a former state legislator, lost twice in bids for lieutenant governor. And this is a seat that Donald Trump won by nearly 10 percentage points, but has been the target of the National Democratic Party. They've had their eye on this. They've thought that this could potentially be in play. I spoke with a strategist for George Holding, Carter Wren, who was a longtime advisor to U.S. Senator Jesse Helms, last week. And what Carter told me is that based on internal polling that he's done, this race is currently a toss-up. Now, I have a little bit of skepticism toward that. I mean, I think it is close. I mean, if he's telling me that, I'll take him at his word. I also think that, he's trying to drum up some interest and drum up some support. Mm-hmm. It's also early, right? We're not quite at Labor Day. And the key, Carter mentioned 2 interesting things I'll touch on briefly. One, he says that 2018 is shaping up to be reminiscent of 1994. He says there are just some parallels, some things that are reminding him of 94. That, of course, was 2 years after a Democrat had taken back the White House and Republicans saw huge gains in the midterm elections. The other thing he has talked about as it pertains to the 2nd congressional race are the independents. Independents in that district have broken with the Republican candidates. Those independents, according to his polling and according to some of what we've seen in other special races and races outside, outside of the 2nd Congressional District, they are parting ways with this president. Mm-hmm. And if they are to do that in large enough numbers, that could make this competitive. This one, according to the Cook Political Report, still leaning in the direction of R.
But independents play a big role. They do.
They're about a third of the constituency there of registered voters.
The 13th district race in North Carolina is also one to watch. Tell us about that one.
Ted Budd is a first-term congressman in a first-term district. This was a district that was carved out when the legislature had to go back in and redraw congressional districts because they were ruled illegal. So this is just a number of parts of counties in the Southern Triad. He is a small business owner. He sells firearms. And he is in a district that was, we should note, the closest of any of the districts in 2016. It was decided by Trump carried it by 9 points. He's being challenged by Kathy Manning, who early on said that she would wait and see how she would handle Nancy Pelosi. And then an ad out yesterday, she took kind of a different approach.
Well, let's take a listen to that.
If you behaved like Congress, you'd lose your job. But they keep fighting, and nothing seems to change. That's why I'm running to clean house in Washington. I'll vote against Nancy Pelosi for Speaker, support term limits for party leaders, and I won't take a dime of corporate PAC money. I'm Kathy Manning, and I approve this message because I'll work with anyone to do what's best for North Carolina, but I'll only answer to you.
All right, so that's a campaign ad for Kathy Manning running for the 13th Congressional District in North Carolina. I'm talking to Capitol Bureau Chief Jeff DeBeer. Now, interestingly enough, if she will vote against Nancy Pelosi, that suggests that she's a Democrat, and perhaps the only suggestion in her campaign that she's a Democrat.
In that ad right there, it was interesting to me. It was the first time I believe that we had heard, that I had heard, she said she would not vote for Pelosi. And you don't hear the words president or Donald Trump anywhere in that ad either.
Or Democrat. So this is a suggestion, again, a second candidate running for a U.S. House seat in North Carolina, running against the Democratic establishment. And an analysis piece just now on the New York Times front page suggested that this is part of a national policy on the part of the Democrats to allow candidates to figure out what's been going on in their own districts and not run it from the top down, which, of course, has been the complaint of progressives for a couple of years now.
It has. We'll see how it works. I think they're trying to give them a little bit more leeway. If we think about the spectrum of Democratic candidates, I mean, we talked about Dan McCready in the 9th. He might be at one end of the Democratic spectrum. Then you think about somebody like Ocasio-Cortez, you know, this Democratic socialist who won in New York City last month. I mean, that's a pretty big spectrum. You can't really try to have all of them running under, you know, the main same central talking point.
Under that central Democratic Party, but let them figure out what their district is, and you'll see the variety. And who knows? We'll see in November. Jeff DeBeer, always a pleasure. Thank you, Jeff.
My pleasure.